Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a carburettor, and I love films. As Benjamin Spock once said, trust yourself. You know more than you think you do. You know what Lost Highway is about. You know it. You're choosing to be difficult. You get it. It's about jealousy. Yeah, you got it. Of course you got it. Come on, man. It's obvious. Yeah, it's a good film. You can just enjoy it. You don't have to be like, it was so difficult to get. You got it. You instinctively understood it. So why are you making such a thing of it? Yeah, okay. Wow, fascinating argument. Thank you, Benjamin Spock. Every week I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died. Then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Kevin Smith, Sharon Stone, and even Cled Klambos. But this week, it is the brilliant comedian, actor, writer, podcaster, and all-round hero. It's Helen Bauer. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets. We talk beginnings and endings, all sorts of stuff. You get the whole episode uncut and ad-free and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, along with all the other shit that's there. So, Helen Bauer. Oh, Helen Bauer is a brilliant stand-up. If you've never seen her, you must go and see her do stand-up. She's fucking funny. She's got her own podcast, Trusty Hogs. She's funny as fuck. I've known her for a few years now. We recorded this on Zoom the other day. She's so funny. I really love this one, and I think you will. I hope everyone is well. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 222 of Films to be Buried With. And welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by a producer, a writer, a actor, a podcaster, a filmmaker, a YouTube maker, a series generator, a legend, and most of all, an incredible stand-up comedian, and sometimes Sketko, maybe. Who knows? Let's find out. Please, welcome to the show. It's the one and only, it's Helen Bauer!
Yay! Wait, what have I ever produced?
Listen, Helen Bauer, the first time, I think we maybe met before it, but, you know, I don't know how long ago it was, but, you know, when people always, look, people ask me, Have you got any advice? And I always say, make your own shit. That's the only advice I can give anyone. Make your own shit.
Oh,
and you are the perfect example of this, because years and years ago, you contacted me and said, I'm making an entire series of a thing. And you made it for YouTube and you asked me to be in it. And I said yes. And it was brilliant. And you made it completely yourself with Michael. But as in, you had clearly had no money. And there was no...
Wait, how obvious was the fact I had no money?
But, like, you made a whole fucking TV show. And I'm like, that's it. That's what you do.
Me and Michael Ross did make an entire TV show. We did. We thought we were being geniuses. And we were both working in retail at the time. But he was an amazing writer. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sort this out. So we found an office that our friend's uncle owned and used it at the weekends to film a show. It was a great time. I was like 22, though, and very overambitious.
But why the fuck not? I love that.
But you know, we met before.
Yeah, we did meet before.
We know each other from before.
Yeah.
Do you know exactly why, though? Because I was the tech of Britain's Best Friends in the Joker Dome.
Oh, that's
in
where
2009.
We first
met.
Britain's Best Mates was a
Britain's Best Mates
show,
yep.
With Jamie Sketko. Glassman and Matt Steer, a Sketko character show that I directed, yes. That I would describe as one of the great underrated gems of my back catalogue. They were so fucking funny. That show was so fucking good and nobody saw it.
It was so funny. It was so ridiculous. Like, I remember the bit where he just shows the vein in his arm because he was so pale so vividly, so vividly. But it was also such a good lesson. It was my first time I'd ever been at Fringe. I was teching in the Joker Dome, which doesn't even exist anymore. And I remember going like, there can be something amazing and they can still have horrible experience of days, you know? Because I remember one day, I think you might have been there. And
I was there a lot, yeah.
They hide around, they're in the back, right? So they don't know who's coming in and the lights are quite bright. And the audience were you, one of their mums, and Lisa Scott Lee from Stabs. and it was like 10 minutes into the hour-long show, and clearly one of them had dipped under the lights and had realised what was happening. Like, and went, wait a second, we can't perform this to our director, our mum, and Lisa Scott Lee from Stabs. And it was, and I was in the booth, I was 18, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
I mean, they're funny boys. That was a funny show. That they deserved so much more of that, Edinburgh.
Agreed.
But it also showed, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know, it's a nice lesson, but it just shows you that you can make really good shit and no one can care.
Totally. This is the thing. You can, it's just constantly throwing shit at the wall and you just got to wait for the stickier shit.
Yeah.
That's it. And like, not all like shits are sticky. That's the famous thing about shit. Some are slippery, some are liquid. Like, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, the thing with shit, it's just sometimes it's not the right time for your shit. Sometimes you shit, sometimes your shit's sticky, it's just early or it's late.
Oh my God, you're right.
That's what I think. As in, I think that show is a perfect example. Britain's Best Mates, I think, was a genuinely brilliant show, but maybe it was a couple of years ahead of the conversation about masculinity and all that shit, or it was a couple of years behind something. Who knows? But the time for it, the shit wasn't sticky on the day of release, but it was sticky shit.
This is like an amazing metaphor for all art. Like every shit is destined to be the one that like makes the toilet bowl what it is. But some don't make it to the toilet bowl. Some just get in your pants. Some make it to the woods, but don't get out of the woods. Like, and sometimes you're not expecting
it. Some go so fast down the bowl, you don't even see them.
And sometimes it's just a fart and you didn't realise the shit was there.
Yeah.
It was just an idea, but the next thing you know, you pull down your pants and it's full of shit. And you had no idea it was coming. And then sometimes it's just a vague idea and it's just turtle heading out of your anus. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm present. I've got something for you. But not quite ready to let go.
But you're not ready for it yet. You're not ready for this shit. I don't think you're ready for this shit, as Destiny's Child were probably really saying.
Oh my God, I think there's a book in this.
Yeah.
With illustrations, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you'll do the illustrations, I'm assuming.
And then, like, Britain's Best Mates would have been, like, the plug shit that was holding in, like, the pizza you had the night before. So, you know, sometimes when there's, like, a little poo that then allows everything else to fall out of you. So, like, Britain's Best Mates, it was, like, I think it was a bit early. Toxic masculinity-wise, if we're going to do that as the angle. Yeah. And that was, like, the plug. But then that storm led to Ted Lasso.
Wow. I mean, just in case it's not clear, because Britain's Best Mates are directed, Jamie Glassman and Matthew Steer were the stars of it, and they were incredible. Yeah. And all this conversation.
And friends with Lisa Scott Lee. Yeah.
And friends with Lisa Scott Lee. So I don't want any of this to sound like a negative on that show. The show was phenomenal. Oh, they were phenomenal. Incredible.
Yeah.
Their shit was too early. Too early.
They shit themselves.
They shit themselves too soon.
They shit themselves too soon. Too soon.
That's what Lisa Scott, Lee said. When they called the show after 10 minutes, she said, too soon. I'm not ready for this.
I remember her saying it, and it's really stayed with me throughout my journey to becoming a stand-up comedian.
Now, let's talk about that. So you've just, I wasn't at Edinburgh this year, but from the press, and who knows what is real life, but from the press, it seems you had an excellent Edinburgh. Was it excellent to experience, or was it a nightmare?
I had a nice second hour. What can I say? But I also feel like I've cheated Edinburgh because I did my first hour and then the world locked down. So I got to be like the nominated newcomer for like 3 years. So I was exciting and new for so long. But it also meant I had so long to write my second show. So I wouldn't say I've had that normal experience of like you do an hour and then you do another hour, then you do another hour, because I've just had so many breaks.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense, actually. And I do think the critics tend to turn against you on your second hour, but because there was such a long gap, they probably felt like, oh,
they forgot.
Give her a chance. They forgot.
They forgot. They were like, this is her sixth hour.
They liked the sixth hour. That's great. Oh, I'm glad you had fun. I heard it was a tough one.
But I had a nice show. I had a fun show. And I had it was a tough one, but I was also in like a really small venue. So like, you know, when you're like in a venue where everyone's like, oh my God, you've sold out, you've made it. And then you're talking to people and you're like, oh, my sellout capacity is when yours is half full. The illusion was that I was crushing it. But the reality was that we were selling out when 45 tickets had been sold.
That's smart.
I'm a genius. No, it wasn't smart. The venue was a bad choice to me because I wanted to do originally a show about my German heritage, but the room they put me in was Bunker 2, so we decided no. It's too tense, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing is, most of the rooms in Edinburgh are named a little bit like Third Reich awfulness-y. Like, even in the Pleasance Courtyard, you've got three bunkers, you've got an attic, you've got a cellar. Yeah. So it's like, it's quite tricky to place people like me.
You've got the shower. Yeah, it's dark.
Yeah, really dark. It's rough. It's rough out there.
So go on, tell me, you seem to have something on your mind.
I just have to tell you, because I'm about to like lose my mind with joy.
Okay.
About 12 hours ago, I booked a trip to Disney World.
Holy fucking shit. That's incredible.
I'm dying. I'm literally dying, Brett. I cannot handle this. Like, I have wanted to go since before I was born.
It is the happiest place on earth.
And I've already got so much merch. Like, this is my turning red cap. I'll put it on for you.
That's great.
Like, I have everything already. And I've never been. It's never been like an option. I've been to Paris, but like,
sure.
But this is my moment. I'm going to Florida. Can you believe it?
When are you going? I'm so excited for you.
January, beginning of January.
Oh, incredible as well, because then it won't be rammed. Who are you going with?
Okay, this is the risk. I don't know how you're going to react to this. Jordan Brooks.
That's so funny.
Sunil Patel and a friend of mine who's an actor called Gwyneth Keyworth, who's currently in To Kill a Mockingbird, but she's going to be finished by then. So we were messaging booking it while she was in the interval playing Scout.
I feel like...
What do you think of the mix of people, though? Because I'm worried about Jordan and Sunil, because that's why I invited Gwyneth, because I was worried they're going to be a bit ironic.
Yes. Well, yes. It's a real balance you've got there. You've got a real balance of joy. And I think I really want you to make a video documentary of the entire trip. Listen.
The little
I know and love about Jordan Brooks is he has a great silliness and joy and love.
Oh yeah.
And I think that he may arrive at Disney World with a sneer, but he will leave with tears in his eye and the biggest smile on his face and say,
but
do you know what?
My
that
plan
was the happiest place on earth.
Oh my gosh. It's like you can see what I'm envisioning. Because I was thinking about, so I call Sunil and Jordan the little princes. I was thinking about, before I go, getting gifts for the little princes so they can wear matching outfits. Mm-hmm. So like Sunil and Jordan could like have little matching, like, because I've got like two Goofy Movie t-shirts. So that's my Powerline one I'm showing you now. Thank you. And I think like if I could dress them up matching and get them ears and just take them straight to like a really like magical princess meet, yeah. I think that could be a good, like, just in the deep end, you've got to swim. You've got to buy into this. I don't know.
I think they will. I think it's undeniable when you're there. I think it's quite hard. It's mm-hmm. like Muppets and stuff. It's quite hard to maintain cynicism. Yeah. You sort of get broken down pretty quickly, I think.
Agreed. And I think they're sort of like trying to make out they don't really give a shit. But they definitely do. And also, here's the thing, they haven't actually booked it yet. Me and Gwyneth have booked 12 hours ago. They're booking tonight because Jordan's coming over for a sleepover. Okay. And I'm going to Leicester. So I'm going to vlog it. I'm for sure going to vlog it on like Instagram story, because I think it is important to like, for toxic masculinity, I guess, partly, but also just for like, just for the world in general. I think people who are struggling with the cost of living crisis, they really want to see four absolute spoilt brats spending their hard-earned cash, mainly earned through Patreon, on a trip to Disney World.
I think it's the perfect solution to everyone's problem.
Really good.
I love that. I mean,
have you been?
Do you know what? I haven't been for a very long time, but I have been more than once, and it is the best. Certainly, I haven't been in... I need to go again, but it is truly magnificent.
This is the thing. It's going to be so much better than last time you went, because I watch all the vlogs. Like, that's my favourite thing to do is Disney vlogs. And, like, Batu is open, so the whole Star Wars land. Like, Epcot World Showcase looks so good. Like, obviously, Disney's Animal Kingdom has a full Avatar section. You can do a Navi River journey. Like, it's incredible. And Hollywood Studios now has a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Yes, please.
This episode is sponsored by Disney World. Disney World. For all your Disney needs. Do you... Oh, fuck, I forgot to tell you something.
No.
And it's... Oh, man, I actually don't want to tell you this because of your trip. Fuck. You are... No, this is one of the...
No.
Helen Bauer, you've died.
Just no, no. No. Sorry. Such bullshit.
It's such a bummer. It's a real bummer, but...
Bring me back. Bring me back. Bring me back.
Let's see it. Let's see how we go. How did you die?
Can I just go suddenly? That's all I want. I want to
it's
die
your
suddenly.
Choice, but how suddenly? What happened?
My friend Sunil, we sort of made a plan. We're both single and we live together. And he went, if you're still single when you're 40, I'll put a bolt in the back of your head. and I think that's quite nice because it's so quick.
Like a cow. That's what they do with cows, right?
Yeah, like a big cow. Yeah.
So line you up, bolt in the back of the head. He's happy to administer.
Yeah.
You know what? It's the first cow-related death, and I also think it's a great idea.
I don't want to feel anything. I want it to be so sudden.
There's something about it being a bolt rather than, say, a bullet, a gun.
A bullet. I don't want to endorse gun violence. A bolt is very different.
It feels cleaner, the bolt. Like, it feels like there's not going to be a spray. It's just the bolt that goes through the skull. But nothing's popping out the other end. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
That's a lovely idea, Sunil.
Agreed. And also, is it illegal if he says that he's confused between me and a cow?
If he says he's a farmer, is it illegal?
Is it illegal? Prove it. If he's wearing barber, can he go down? We don't know.
If he's got farming equipment and he says he's a farmer, where's the crime?
That's so genius.
It's really good.
That's how I want to go then.
At 40...
I don't know. Maybe just seems no, because then I don't like anticipation. I'd be anticipating it for the next 10 years.
What if it's any time after you're 40 and it'll be a surprise?
It would be nice because then I would never have to think about pensions or what they are.
I don't think. Yeah. Well, if it's getting out before pension, then you could hang on till your 60s, couldn't you? Depends how much you're into life, I guess.
I like it. Yeah, I like living. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing.
So maybe give yourself a different deadline than the 40. That does seem young, but Each their own.
I nearly just said I'm pro-life. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say, let's just say around my 40s, and we'll just leave it there.
Okay.
Okay.
Around your 40s.
Yeah.
Well, then leave it with Sunil, I guess. It's not really.
That's his choice.
It's his choice. Yeah. do you worry about death?
I don't really, because I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be long and painful for me or for people around me, you know? I don't want my death to be scarring for someone.
Yeah. No, I think Sunil will move on quite quickly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He'll just chuck me in the garden and let the nature take its course.
So he's not even really going to bury you, just sort of leave you on top of the grass.
No, I think he'd actually give me to my sister, because my sister's got into taxidermy now, so I have a feeling that's going to be my future.
What, and then you'd be on the wall like Han Solo?
Yeah, well, I think it's because our hamster's going to die soon and she wants to taxidermy it. So, like, I don't think it's going to be a good taxidermy job, but, like, if that is my destiny, that's my destiny.
Hmm. Yeah. Just clean out the bolt hole, fill it up with stuffing. I don't know what's in there.
Bit of foam, probably.
Bit of foam. Yeah. But, like, leave you on a chair or what? She pose you or?
Oh, I think I'd like to be in an armchair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely don't want to be a head just coming out of a wall, because I could just imagine, like, being quite dusty. I'd like to be watching a TV, I think, sitting in front of the telly. I'd be quite happy.
One leg over the other or both feet on the floor?
No, man spread. Absolute, man spread. Like, real, like, rat out vibes. Like, yeah.
I feel like you're taking up a lot of space as a corpse if you're man spreading. No disrespect, maybe that's what people
I feel like you're just saying women shouldn't take up space dead or alive, and I think that's abhorrent to say.
No, I think what I've always said
at this time in life.
Women take up as much space as they can, except when they're dead, then they need to make themselves very small.
Put them in the little lady coffins in the little lady cemetery.
Yes, quite right. I'm just thinking, I don't know the size of your sofa. I don't know how many people your sister's having round.
It's a three-seater.
She's bringing home three guys on the three-seater sofa, and one of them's taken up with you and your manspreading. So you're on like one and a half cushions.
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking maybe she goes, I wish I'd closed her legs. Do you know how to
speak? When did you hear me say I'm not happy for living man to sit on my lap or sit on my shoulders?
You're absolutely right. I didn't let you finish a sentence at some point, and
thank
maybe
you.
That's where it was headed. I'm so sorry. But living man needs to know what he's walking into. I think he needs a heads up. Come back to my dead stuffed sister's on the sofa, manspreading.
Yeah, but Brett, babe, that's so tricky to bring up in conversation. It does not come up naturally.
And
I'm not saying...
That's so conventional of me as well, isn't it? God, so conventional to want the warning.
To just assume that, like, the woman has to say if she's got a stuffed human in her house. God. And I don't think it's on her. I don't think it is on her.
God, I'm old-fashioned. Yeah, you shouldn't have to say anything.
You really shouldn't.
Just walk in and deal with it. what do you think happens after you die? Not to your body, we know where that's going, but let's say your soul.
I don't know. I thought nothing happened, but then I watched Soul on Disney Pixar and I got a bit confused, because it made sense. It did make sense that, like, it goes into a body, and, like, I definitely have, like, seen animals where I've been like, oh, I feel like you were a person before and you're trying to tell me something. But it also might have been, I keep going to the zoo, like, drunk or high, and sort of, like, you know, when you look at a lion and you're like, what's your message? But it's just looking at you because it's trapped and miserable.
Well, then his message is, get me out.
Get me out. But it's looking at me in a way, I'm like, who are you? Like, granny? Grandpa? But also, I think I used to think nothing happened because my mum believes in ghosts. So I was very frightened growing up, because she'd always be like, oh, like, I'd go into her room and be like, oh, I'm really scared, there's a ghost in my room. And, like, you know how most parents are like, no, you're just being silly, go back. My mum would be like, oh, better say hello or it might go turn nasty. So, like, I would be like living in a constant state of stress. Stop laughing, because it's very traumatizing for me.
Take me through this a little bit slower.
No, because now I'm going to panic.
You thought they were ghosts?
Yeah.
Your mum said, if you're not nice to the ghosts, they'll turn dark.
Yes. because the because when okay, let me calm down. Because I'm getting nervous saying this because I'm home alone and yeah, I'm
you don't
really scared.
Set off the gas. Like,
someone's going to walk past me in the background and that'll be it. So basically, like my mum, the first house I lived in when I was little, my mum said there was a nice man downstairs and a horrible woman upstairs, which is classic her. She doesn't really trust women. But she loved the odd man downstairs. And when she brought me home from the hospital, my brother home from the hospital, she'd be like, oh, this is Ted, this is Helen. They're my baby. Please be nice to them. And then she would like keep us downstairs the whole day because she didn't like the lady at the top of the stairs. And she didn't tell any of her friends about this lady at the top of the stairs. But then one day, two of her friends were over, they were a couple, and the woman was at the top of the stairs and her husband called up like, oh, move, she's going to push you. And my mum was like, yep, that's it, we're moving. So we moved. And we didn't have ghosts in the house for a while, but now my mum lives in a new build next to Fleet Service Station. She's got ghosts again, yeah.
What are the ghosts now?
She doesn't know, but she's not scared of them. She just wants to know what they've got to say. So she's hired a woman called Trisha, who is a medium specifically for the Fleet, Farnham and specific areas of North London.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you come to the right place. I'm not, you know, I mean, I have questions, but I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm scared of the old lady on the stairs.
Me too. And can you see why my relationship with the afterlife is quite tricky? Because, like, I do think that there's something, but I don't want it to be that reality where people hang around with unfinished business and haunt certain spaces that they can't leave.
Did we ever know what the old lady was angry about?
My mum literally, even now, is still very cagey about the information about it, mainly because as I've become an adult, I've started questioning her and some of her beliefs. And we've had, my mum can't watch the film Titanic because it brings back too many memories for her, because in a past life she was on the boat. And I have since questioned that in a way that wasn't very sympathetic. So we can't really discuss everything.
Is your is your mum a medium herself? Does she have a connection to the... You never saw these ghosts?
I didn't, but when I was younger, I thought I did. But now I realise that might have been arrogance, because the main ghost I saw was the ghost of Queen Victoria, which is just so arrogant.
You only saw high-end ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only saw ghosts that we'd learnt about in school the week before.
Fair enough.
It feels a bit, arrogant. But my mum thinks she has powers, and then she thinks that me and my sister have powers, like we're in a lineage. I think it's a mental health problem, but we're just calling it witching. I mean,
do you think you have powers?
Some.
So maybe you being stuffed and kept on the sofa isn't so silly after all. Because
no, it would make sense.
Maybe your physical form will be there, but your ghost will actually also be sat inside you watching the telly.
But that's the thing, I don't want to be stuck there. I wouldn't mind visiting my body, but like, I don't want to feel trapped in one place. I wouldn't mind being reborn. I like that. And I like the idea that, like, that it's really, like, wishy-washy. But, you know, when you meet someone and you immediately have, like, a really good connection with them, like a really good friendship vibe, it's like, I bet we were in the trenches together.
Yeah.
I like, like, I like that. I don't know.
I bet we won the war. Together.
We bloody won it, didn't we, you and me? We're classic
us. You can tell. Anyway, off to Disney. Cutlass soldiers.
So, I think there's something, but I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Your mum is fascinating. Well, listen, your mum and you... Listen, it's complicated. There is a heaven, by the way.
Okay, there is a heaven, I'll take it.
And... it's filled with your favourite thing. What's your favourite thing?
Pizza.
Okay, it's a pizza party every night in heaven. The seats are made of pizza, but they're not too hot to sit on. And the walls are made of pizza. Bouncy, soft, deep pan. Lovely. Not crusty, soft. And the screens are made of pizza. Everything smells of pizza. There are pizza people walking around. There's pizza on trays. Pizza, pizza, pizza. And they're delighted to see all the pizza people. And they want to talk to you about your life. They're huge fans. They've seen everything you've ever done. And they've watched you from the top of the stairs and from the ground floor. And oh, God. Oh. Yes. And they want to know about your life. Turns out the old lady was just a fan. And she was wanted to push the other lady out of the way because she couldn't see you for a second. Anyway, they want to know about your life through film, weirdly. And the first thing they ask is, what's the first film you remember seeing, Helen Bauer?
Ben-Hur.
Wow. Do you know what? I don't think Ben-Hur has ever come up on this podcast in all these many, many, many episodes.
No.
I don't think
I thought
ever
it was going to be a really basic answer. Because it's always on TV when you're
it's
growing up.
On TV.
Like 24/7 on
bank
TV.
Bank Holiday Monday, Ben-Hur time.
Ben-Hur, always please.
Bank, always back
bit
on
of Ben-Hur.
All the banks have to close to watch Ben-Hur.
It's a great, I mean, it's not like, it's an okay film.
It's a good film.
I loved it. I can't guarantee it was the first film I ever saw, but it was the first film that, like, I would come home from, like, play school and request Ben-Hur.
Wow.
Like, that was my go-to. That was, like, come home from playgroup, have a porridge and papal, and watch the full of Ben-Hur. Like, all the way to the leprosy colony. Like, the whole hog.
What's a papal? What's a papal?
Apple, but in a really cute way. Porridge
oh, it's
apple.
A cute apple. Sorry, I totally get it.
It's a really cute apple. I was only four. I was so little.
No, that's really cute. What a cute apple. So you had your porridge and apple when you watched Ben-Hur.
And I watched my Ben-Hur.
With your sister?
Nope. Just nope, my brother and sister were like way more like, let's go play outside. And I was like, let's do the chariot race.
What's your age range with your brother and sister, may I ask?
Oh, so like there's my brother's the oldest, then 2 years, then me, and then 2 years and my sister.
You're middle. I'm a middle.
I'm a very obvious middle.
You're a middle.
I'm a middle.
Come on. Define
I'm a middle.
Middle for me.
Oh, an attention-seeking little whore. Yeah.
Thank you.
thank you.
thank you. What is the film that scared you the most? And do you like being scared? You're not a big fan of the old lady at the top of the stairs?
I'm not a big fan of the old lady at the top of the stairs. I've definitely got more comfortable with horror films in recent years. Like, I laughed during Hereditary in the cinema, which
Whoa.
Is mad. I know. I laughed. I've definitely, like, I've watched horror films by myself recently and really enjoyed them. But when I was younger, it would be more things that I'd think I'd see later. But the scariest thing I ever saw was a Jim Gamble. I don't know whether this is a film, so I'm going to ask you because you might know.
Okay.
We had it recorded off the TV on a VHS tape, and it was The Adventures of Peer Gynt. And it was Jim Gamble, who's this famous puppeteer.
Right.
And it would be the story of Peer Gynt through puppets.
Right.
I checked to see if it existed because before recording this, because I was worried that it was like a mental health blip or something I had when I was five, but it does exist. That used to terrify me. And if that isn't a film, then Practical Magic.
The Nicole Kidman, which film? Practical Magic.
Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen Practical Magic. I saw it when I was little. I don't remember it being scary, but that's no judgment. I just say, I don't remember it being scary. It was more of a romantic comedy with witches.
That's the
what
thing.
What was scary
that's
about it?
I think it's because, like, everyone was like, oh, it's not a horror film, so we were allowed to watch it at sleepovers very young. But I was fucking shitting myself because I've got this mother at home that's like, oh, we might be witches, we might be in a lineage of witches. Right. And I was like, this is like a biopic of, like, I'm going to, when I fall in love, I'm going to kill him. Like, and, but I thought it was terrifying. And I remember Emma Black's my best friend, and she lived like five doors down the road from me, and she loved it. And I always pretended I loved it. And I'm really worried that she'll hear this and be like, you liar. But I was so frightened. So frightened. I didn't like all the spells.
How is Emma these days?
Emma's great. Emma's bought her first one bed flat. She's crushing it.
Wow, good for you, Emma. Shout
hey,
out
Emma.
To Emma. Hey.
Hi, Emma Black.
Hey, Emma. Hope you're at home eating a papo.
She loves an apple.
So cute. Emma's so cute.
Emma's so cute. It's mad.
Okay, Practical Magic. Okay. Good for you. Listen, I like the Peer Gynt. I like a scary puppet film.
Honestly, give it a watch. I'd scrub forward to Green Hilda. It is horrifying.
Mm.
And I feel like my brother knew it scared me and would repeatedly put it on for that reason.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds cool. What about crying? What's the film that made you cry the most? Are you a crier?
Oh, I'm a big cry. I cry constantly. I'd say I cry a little bit every single day. I cried yesterday when I booked Disney World because I felt so overwhelmed with joy. I'm just constantly emotionally raw. The song, the score of this still makes me cry, just the score. And it's the Winona Ryder Little Women.
Oh, my God, I love that film.
I love it so much. It's so good. And so Thomas Newman did the score for it, who's like the best, right? He did like Finding Nemo. He does everything. He's incredible. And there's a song on the score called Valley of the Shadow. And it plays when, I mean, you'll know this moment so well. So Beth's lying in her bed and Joe comes in and the wind goes outside the window and it's her soul leaving her body. And then Joe closes it, turns back, Beth is dead. And then you get the piano start playing really softly, which is so beautiful because that's Beth singing the piano. And then you have Anna, who's like the housekeeper, coming in, and she drops rose petals on Beth's dolls. And then she holds one of the doll's hands and it drops down. And it, like, I cannot handle it. It's so beautiful.
It's wonderful film. It's a perfect
film. It's incredible. Oh, it's gorgeous. Apart from, like, Amy is such a dick. But that's not the film's fault.
That's Louisa May Alcott. Amy's growing up.
I get that she's growing up, but grow up faster.
She's a little woman. She's not a big woman yet. She's a little woman.
Even when she's a big woman, she's a bit of a cunt. Let's put it out there.
Okay. But, you know, by the end, she's learned something. Don't be such a cunt.
What, go off of Laurie? Thank God for Friedrich, is all I can say. Thank God.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. Thank you, Friedrich. Just in
time. Dankeschön, Friedrich.
What, if I may, is a film that you love. People don't like it. It's not critically acclaimed, but you, Helen Bauer, love it.
Mamma Mia. But also all my friends love it as well. It's so good. It's just joy. It's joy. You love it?
Yeah, I love it.
Brett, I'm so glad you said that because it's so joyful. The story is set up so quickly. You know what's going to happen, but we're all having fun with song and the costume, and it's so frothy. I love it.
You know, here's maybe what will happen to Jordan Brooks and Sunil Patel in Disney World is that when I was in Edinburgh and it was like we had a, you know, I was doing a mixed show with Jerry Howell and Pat Bircher. And on our one day off, and we were playing at the Phoenix, which is a venue which I would classify as not in Edinburgh. It was so far away from the main bit. And it was like, we had a tough year, but it was fun, but it was tough and no one came. And we did this show in a fucking... Anyway, on our day off, our one day off, instead of seeing shows, we went to see Mamma Mia at the cinema in the afternoon. And perhaps we walked in... Ironically, on our lad's day out, perhaps, I can't guarantee, but perhaps we thought, well, this will be funny. And we went and it was just a few old people and us in the cinema. And the first 10 minutes we sat there. And by the end, we were crying and singing and thought it was the best film we'd ever seen.
Are you talking about the moment the film changes, which isn't The Winner Takes It All? It's slipping through my fingers all the time when Meryl is singing that to Amanda. But for me, the song that gets me is right at the end when all is said and done. You know, when it's like, here's to us one more toast and then we'll pay the bill. I'm like, what a perfect button on the end of this film. It's gorgeous. I saw it in the Basingstoke View. Amazing cinema. Highly recommends. Lot of memories there with my cousin Sophie. And she had already seen it about three times by the time we went to the cinema and seen it. It'd been out 2 weeks and she's basic as. And she was bawling the whole way through it because she knew what was coming and she couldn't handle knowing that Meryl was going to be on the side of that cliff singing The Winner Takes It All and just being, just bearing it all.
With a scarf. Doing a lot.
Yeah, with a scarf. Which is a mad choice when your daughter is about to get married in like 3 minutes. She's got so many steps to climb, but she's like, I do have time for the full number. I will do the full number.
And I'm definitely going to do a lot of work with this scarf, which no one expected. I think the scarf is really putting in a shift.
I'd say, okay, you know what? That's where we differ. I believe it's the wind, but that is I think it's okay. Audience members' interpretation.
I think that's the beauty of Meryl Streep, though. She makes it look effortless. You think it's the wind, but I'm going, that's all Meryl. She's flapping that scarf. She's doing all the work. There was no wind. It was a set.
I would love it if she created the wind just with her power. And we were like, wow, amazing.
That's all her. Yeah. What's a film you used to love, but you don't love it anymore? You've watched it recently and it has changed for you, or you have changed.
I think the world has changed, society has changed, and it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the original one.
Whoa, what's that done to you?
I just think it's fucking bullshit. Yeah, how about that?
You're right.
The whole thing is mental. No one's likable in it. My main problem with it, how about this? How the fuck does Augustus Gloop not win that Chocolate Factory? He knows Chucky. He loves it. He's invested in the world. And the fat boy gets chucked out in room one. That's mental.
Yeah, what's his crime?
What the fuck does Charlie Bucket know about chocolate? What the fuck? And right, the Augustus Gloop crime is, number one, he loves it too much, because the best line in the film, they're all Augustus Gloop, is when he wins the first golden ticket and Slugworth is like whispering in his ear and the interviewer goes, you found the first golden ticket, how does it feel? And he goes, hungry, like, But his crime is, in room one, he starts drinking the river of chocolate and his mum is like, Augustus, darling, save some room for later. But he can't stop drinking because he's like got some sort of a compulsive overeating disorder. And he falls in and he gets sucked up in the pipe to the fudge room. But that's not a crime. The boy was hungry.
No arguments here. You make a very powerful point. Augustus Gloop should have won the Chocolate Factory. What does Charlie know about chocolate? He's had a couple of sweets in his time.
He's had one
gobstopper in a little chocolate bar. He's not an expert. You're absolutely right. Gloop
he
is
has
the man.
No fucking clue what he's doing.
Factory's falling apart in a week. He takes home.
How does Mike TV make it to room four, seeing as the character's only attribute is that he's wearing a cowboy hat and theoretically likes TV? Insane
he
choice.
His problem is watching a lot of TV, but he stopped to come to the factory, didn't he?
This is the thing. It's such a stupid
character. It doesn't seem that big a problem.
Also, let's talk about the songs in it. Veruca Salt, famous song. I want a feast, I want a bean feast. What's a bean feast?
Well, you know, a bean feast where you have baked beans on top of runner beans. A bean feast. You know.
No.
The feast of beans, runner beans, broad beans and baked beans, all mixed in a stew. It's a bean feast.
No.
Kids love
it. No. I'm sorry, the film does not stand up in the cold light of day when you think about it as a business and running a factory. I'm sorry, it's Gloops and it should have been. And you don't... Oh, no, I'm livid.
I mean, that's not even mentioning the Oompa Loompas who have been stolen from their homeland and used as slaves, but...
I didn't want to bring that up, but that is another thing that I think needs to be discussed at some point. Yeah.
I hope that when Gloop takes over, he at least pays them.
I think he would. That's the thing with Gloop. He's there for the food, not for the inequality. And I think he was very clear about that from day one. Because Gloop also organically found the ticket. You know, he's not a brat. Like he genuinely likes Wonka that much.
Yeah. God, that's...
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What is the... That's brilliant. I'm going to think about that a lot. What's the film that means the most to you, not because it's any good necessarily, but because the experience you had when seeing it always makes it special.
So I've only seen it once since the time I saw it, but I was like 24 or something, and it was a very poignant time in my life, and it's Victoria. Do you know it? It's a German film.
Victoria's one of, I think, one of the all-time greats.
Really?
I love the one-shot, two-and-a-half-hour film with Lai Costa.
Yes!
Listen, Lai Costa, who plays Victoria, is in the show that I co-created, Soulmates, and the reason she's in that is because of Victoria, because I saw Victoria and I was like, fucking hell, we've got to get Lai in.
No, are you fucking kidding?
I'm serious. That's why I love that film. I think it's incredible.
I need to do better research in my life then. Oh my God, I wasn't bringing that up to then be like, oh my God, we both love the same film.
No, but, great.
Okay, I was living in Berlin at the time.
Wow.
So I lived in Berlin for about 3 years.
Did
and
you?
I was a bit, jawohl, yeah, natürlich, Helen Bauer, Hallöchen, I'm working.
What are you working on?
I started stand-up in Germany.
Shut up.
Yes!
Get
I'm going
out.
To Berlin in like 2 days. I love it. Yes.
Amazing. So you're Victoria.
I'm Victoria. Well, no, I did not have that experience. But I was going out clubbing constantly then, because my job for a while when I first moved there was I was like a party tour guide. Mm-hmm. And I would take people out drinking like around Warschauerstrasse and like be like, oh, we're going to go to this club. So I was constantly in those clubs with like, I don't know. And then I hadn't really been to the cinema since I'd moved there. Maybe I'd seen Inside Out, but like hadn't really done anything like that. And like was definitely like, I moved with a friend and it took a while to find my group there and to make friends. Because you're in a new city, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a bit like at odds. And also I was like trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do with my life, because I hadn't started stand-up yet, but I'd feel like I'd done loads of things stand-up adjacent and just hadn't bitten the bullet and gone for it, you know? Yeah. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I went to see it, and it was like a really early morning show, and we're talking like 9 a.m. at like Movimento, like one of those tiny, tiny little kinos. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is obviously not me at all, but I know this world. I know these streets, that this person is walking down all by themselves and just sort of like someone saying like yes to different things. And like, for some reason, even the message of the film is like, say no and walk away at the beginning. Yeah. I was like, I need to say yes and have more adventures in my life. But it really struck a chord. And I don't know why, because it doesn't make sense that that was the one, apart from the fact it was the same city.
Well, it makes perfect sense. You were alone there, right? Were you?
I was at this point, yeah.
You were a woman alone in an exciting city who goes to clubs, who meets people and was either saying yes or no, but that film is an entire yes and, yes and, yes and.
Yes,
for 2.5 hours in one shot.
It is a complete yes anding, but the worst thing is that the repercussions of that is I got fired from that job because the rule was you weren't supposed to sleep with anyone you were taking out, and I did, because
yes
I was yes anding next to the Berlin Wall. Oh, Helen, Anne, like, God. No. I know.
You yes-anded yourself into trouble. But that's
Victoria. I yes-anded myself into a firing.
That's Victoria all over.
It is Victoria all over. But I love it. And, like, I think about it all the time.
It's a fantastic film. And also, from a technical point of view, it's all done in one shot, and I often think one-shot things, I don't necessarily... I think sometimes that they are just sort
style
of,
over substance.
Yeah, and they're just an exercise, and you watch them going, well, that's clever, well done. Whereas Victoria is the perfect one where it's like the style means the thing, as in you sort of find yourself holding your breath the whole 2.5 hours because as she and the camera, you're like, how is this happening? It's so
Can
exciting.
I ask a question which is super... Have you spoken about Victoria loads on this before, by the way?
I have, but not for a very long time. So if people are bored of this, they can skip forward a bit.
Did you, out of curiosity, did you watch it with subtitles or without?
With subtitles.
See, I would be fascinated. I remember watching it and thinking, like, I would have loved to have seen it not being able to speak German and follow her story.
Yeah.
Because if you watch it, if it's just a native English speaker but don't speak German,
yeah, I bet
then
it still works.
You actually find out things as she finds them out or pick up on clues. And I remember thinking, oh, that would be such a cool experience. Like, obviously, I've watched the film, so it's dead now, and like I do speak German. But I was like, that would be so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to watch this because of that.
Love that.
Because there's so many good German films, but like that's one that like really like it works without speaking German at all, you know?
Yeah, I can't fucking... Oh, it's a pointless story because I can't remember what the film was. I accidentally watched a film without having the subtitles on and I thought, oh, this film does not have subtitles. And it was a foreign film.
Yeah.
And I watched 20 minutes of it before I checked, oh, I need to turn on the subtitles myself. But I was following it and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. It seems like I'm not meant to fully understand what's going on, but I'm getting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because Victoria, experience. She does speak English. She speaks English with the one guy in the group. But like, they talk amongst themselves and she's just sort of sitting there trying to like get the gist. And it's like, oh, that would be amazing, like watching it. Because like, obviously as a German and English or subtitle reader, like you kind of know what's you're one step ahead of her. Whereas it'd be really lush to be with her. Yeah. Really, I don't know.
Really good.
So good.
What is the film you most relate to, Helen Bauer?
Okay. Do documentaries count? Because I'm a big documentary fan. Like, I'm not going to say Grey Gardens. I'm not, like, mental. Okay. Then King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Really?
And I
wonderful.
Think that stands for every stand-up or anyone in the arts.
Wonderful that is not. Answer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all feel like we're Steve Wiebe, but, like, of course, there's loads of Billy Mitchells running around. Like.
Just a
and
bunch
most
of
us are just like Walter, who runs the gigs, and then Brian Koo, who's just there.
Yeah. What is the sexiest film you've ever seen, Helen Bauer?
300.
Okay. You know what? Again, don't think it's come up before. 300.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of topless men shouting and fighting. That's your thing?
I mean, I don't know what the storyline is at all. I gave a handjob to it when it came out in the cinema and I was a teenager. Like, it's always equated with, like,
you gave
sexy
a handjob to the film or to a man whilst watching the film?
To a man.
Okay.
Whilst watching the film, once again in Basingstoke. A lot of stuff happens in Basingstoke.
God, that's complicated.
Yeah.
So you were aroused by 300.
He was aroused.
He was
oh
aroused
my
by
God.
Yes.
I keep going with gay guys. This is my problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's that age when you're like a teenage, like late teenager, and like, you're like, everything's above the trousers, but you're like, when we see 300 this weekend, I'm going in pan. Like, I can feel it, right?
So you're thinking, we're having an amazing day. He's hard as a rock.
We've been to Bella Italia.
Ignoring what's happening on the screen.
Yeah, we've had a fancy sit-down Italian meal. Like, we know it's going to be good, right? It is a group hangout, but we are next to each other, so it's fine. I'm not leaning over Anna Grant to get to him, you know? Like, it's chill.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, classic Anna. And then the movie started and like the whole film was like me trying to find the confidence to like go for it. And he was like there, like, go on, do it. Do it when you're ready. And I had like a low cut top on and I was trying to angle my breasts so we could see cleavage and like not stop looking at the naked men. Look at my titties.
But he just and, kept staring at the screen.
Yeah. And then I got him. He was really, really hard. And I was like, oh, I've done something really good here. But then I knew I had to do something else because it couldn't be harder. And that was the end. But like, I felt like I couldn't do that sudden, like a bigger movement because everyone else was there. And I didn't want to be like, oh, Helen gave a hand job to 300. Like now it's fine. But at the time, it's like, I can't be the girl that did that. And so he had to finish himself off in the toilets at the end. But it was good. It was still very sexy.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of signs were there for you. He was staring at 300 men and then he said, let me go finish myself off in the men's.
Yes.
And you thought, I think he's the one. I think he was really into me.
I was smitten.
Excellent. There's a troubling bonus, worrying why, Duns. What's the film you found arousing? You weren't sure you should.
Starter for 10.
Did James McAvoy...
The one about quizzing.
Yeah.
I think it's when I first realised that I find men crying really sexy, which is really worrying. I think I've said this on a podcast before because I know this feeling of shame and embarrassment saying this. But I masturbated to him crying, saying his dad was dead in a restaurant to Alice Eve. And I don't know why, but that is a very memorable wank for me. Can you look at me? Because then I'm going to stop panicking if you cover your eyes that I've said something wrong.
No, I'm Anyone who answers this question properly, which is so far about four people, are my hero. Thank you for answering that question properly.
But otherwise, everyone's just like, oh, Simba was kind of a sexy lion cub. And it's like, yeah, but did you wank to completion? No, doesn't count. Because, yeah, like, for some reason, very emotional. Maybe it was the first time in my life I'd seen a man, and like an attractive man, being very vulnerable. And for me, I was like, how sexy is that? And it really turned me on. I don't think it was anything to do with the fact his dad was dead.
Yeah, that's what I really sort of want to check in on, I guess.
I don't think it's that.
You don't care the reasons for it. He's crying and you're like, I don't care why, babe. You don't need to talk. I just need to watch this. You know what I mean?
It was the vulnerability.
Don't give me details.
Yes.
Stop banging on about your dad. You can think about it and I'll just watch you cry. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, I'll just be in the corner just watching.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. What is objectively the greatest film of all time?
I know I'm correct in this, so I don't want any back chat. Okay. Matilda, Danny DeVito's Matilda, is flawless. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question. Thank you. It will be respected.
It will be respected. Thank you. How do you feel about the new Matilda coming out?
I'm excited because I think it's not a remake of Danny DeVito's Matilda, because he did like his version of it. It was like narrated. But this is Tim Minchin's musical. Correct. And the musical is absolutely incredible. The songs are brilliant. It's not a remake of that. It's the same characters. But it's almost like you could think of it as like in the Matilda universe. But I'm chill with it. I'm excited.
Correct. What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
I really thought about this. I think, like, obviously Ben-Hur is a good contender because I watched it so much growing up. Sound of Music is a good contender. Yes. Annie's a really good contender.
Yes, please.
But I'd say, honestly, the film that I'd keep on going back to is probably the film Wimbledon, because that was like one of the first DVDs we had at our house.
Wimbledon?
So people would come over and watch Wimbledon.
Really?
It's weird. It's a weird choice, huh?
It is a weird
choice. That or The Day After Tomorrow. Those were the two first DVDs we had at our house. Yeah.
Wimbledon's a weird one in that it sort of,
I know, it's not
like,
even good.
Do you know what? Wimbledon is a sticky shit, is what we're talking about. Wimbledon on paper is a slam dunk of a film. And sorry to mix my sporting metaphors. But maybe the timing, etc. Something about Wimbledon, it wasn't a smash. I don't think it's a bad film. I think it's absolutely fine. But you would think on paper Wimbledon would be huge. Shit too early.
It should be.
Shit too late.
It's the one I've seen the most of, and I don't know if it was, I just think it was shit, just full stop.
Right.
Like, it's not like other films that I watch over and over again, which I'm genuinely like, it's like Basketball. I remember watching that a million times when I was younger. Like the funniest film, Dumb and Dumber. Like these great films, but Wimbledon is probably it, and I don't know why. Ugh.
What's the, we don't like to be negative, Helen. Do it quick.
Sorry.
What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Oh, it's just some Jason Statham film, which is like a Prince of Dragons colon a Dungeon Siege. It was horrendous. I walked out. I couldn't do it.
Jason Statham made a film called Prince of Dragons, a Dungeon Siege.
It's like colon the Dungeon Siege. I cannot remember what the beginning of it is. It's that bad. I refuse to look it up as well.
I mean,
you're going to look it up, aren't you?
I'm going to have to look up because I've never heard of Prince of Dragons, a Dungeon Siege.
Okay. Open Jason Statham, a Dungeon Siege, and see what comes up.
Siege. You must be lying.
Maybe I'm lying.
You're a lion.
I watched this with Huge Davies. Let me...
Yeah. Listen, I'm not calling you a liar yet.
No. Okay, forget the Prince of Dragons. Okay, it's called Jason Statham in the Name of the King, colon, a Dungeon Siege Tale.
Okay. Yeah, that's a completely different film and an excellent one.
You liked that film?
I haven't. Truthfully, I haven't seen it. He also plays Farmer in it, so it must have been quite an early one. He plays Farmer.
Which is the lead role?
Oh, it's a Uwe Boll film. Uwe Boll, the director of that film, famously or not, has made film, is I think one of the most sort of statistically critically hated directors of all time. Like every film gets one star on Rotten Tomatoes. And he did a thing where he challenged film critics to a boxing match and genuinely fought the critics of his films in the ring and turned out to be quite a good fighter.
No way.
And I always respect him for that. Good for him.
Okay, fair play to him. Yeah, no, I like that. I just, that film wasn't for me, but I'm sure it is for others, you know?
What is the, you're in comedy, you're a comedian, you're very funny. What's the film that made you laugh the most, Helen Bauer?
Any of the Jackass films. I just, they're just the ones, aren't they? They're the funniest.
You and James Acaster.
Oh, really?
Acaster loves Jackass. Loves. It's his favourite.
It's incredible. Like, I watch all the behind the scenes, like the making of the movie for this last one was absolutely enchanting. The discussions around the dick monster and like how it would work as a puppeteer. Like, they got in the most famous puppeteers in the world, like the Team America puppeteers, to do the dick monster. And it's just so funny.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to be in Jackass?
No, but I do want to be on set. Like, I don't want to be part of the pranks, even though I know the sets happen on prank. But like, come on, going in a portaloo and blowing it up with poo everywhere. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good comedy. Also, they've got really like feminist in the last film. Have you noticed? Like, they get like female tennis players and they serve at their dicks. And it's like, yeah, women can do anything. It's just so empowering. I find it very empowering.
Helen Bauer, you have been amazing and a delight, and I've loved this. However, when you reached 43, surprise, and you were walking through your kitchen, putting up a montage of the fifth trip you'd all taken to Disney World. You'd made a new collage of it. And Sunil walked in and he said, morning, Helen Bauer. You call each other by your phone. You said, hello, Sunil Patel. And he went, show me the picture. And you pointed to the picture. So you had your back to him and ka-kung, he shot a bolt. And as the bolt went in your head, you said, he was wearing wellies and a barber, but you were instantly dead. The signs were there. And I was walking past a couple of weeks later, actually. I said, where's Helen? And Sunil said, oh, if you're looking for Helen, she's at her sister's house. I go over to your sister's house. I go, where's Helen? She says, she wouldn't mind you sitting on her. She doesn't mind living men sitting on her. I said, what do you mean? I walk in. There you are, stuffed, man spread on the sofa, cup of tea wedged in your hand, and a saucer
that's
here.
That's nice.
Yeah, sweet. Aww. And I go, bloody hell. I said, do you mind if I bury her? I know that wasn't the plan, but she did have two secrets. One now, if you know the Patreon section, one secret that she wanted to take to the grave. So I do actually have to put her in a grave. Anyway, I brought this coffin, but there's more of you than I was expecting because she's put so much foam in. You're twice the size. Anyway, so I have to chop you up with your sister. She don't mind. We're having a laugh. Chop you up, stuff you in the coffin. It's only enough room in there to slip one DVD into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. And one night, it's your movie night in Pizza Heaven. What film are you taking to show the pizza people at Pizza Party Heaven when it's your movie night? Helen Bauer, pizza, go.
It has to be King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, because I...
Wonderful.
It's the one that when someone says they haven't seen it, I will stop whatever we're doing and be like, we have to watch it. I just love watching people watch it for the first time. Yeah.
So you'll sit on the stage at the front, in front of the screen, just watching everyone.
Yeah.
Great.
Because it's such an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so funny.
Helen Bauer, what a joy. Is there anything you want to tell people to listen to look out for, to watch, to buy tickets to? You tell me.
I have a podcast.
Yes.
That's always a good way to start. I do a podcast called Trusty Hogs with lovely Catherine Bohart.
Excellent.
So please listen to that. And I have a special coming out, but I don't know. It was filmed with 800-pound gorilla, but I don't know where it's going to end up. Of my first show called Little Miss Baby Angel Face. So please look out for that. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter and I'll put it up there, obviously. Yes.
Helen Bauer, what a treat. Thank you very much doing this. Have a wonderful
day
from a bolt in the back of your head. And enjoy Disney World and please make video diaries every single day of every moment.
I will, I promise. I promise.
Lots of love to you.
Love you.
Good day. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was episode 222. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra chat, secrets and video with Helen. Go to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars, but don't talk about the podcast. No one cares about that. Talk about the film that means the most to you and why. My neighbour Maureen loves reading that. It always makes her cry and we really appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. Hope everyone is well. Thank you so much to Helen for doing this show. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Latham for the photography. Come and join me next week for an incredible guest. Oh, so many great guests coming. You're going to love it. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.